Hello, and welcome to River Writers, a production of the Writers Guild of Astoria, a 501c3 nonprofit supporting writers and the literary arts in Astoria and the Lower Columbia region. I'm your co-host, Asher Finch. Aired the second Monday of each month at 9 a.m., River Writers provides a chance to peek behind the curtain at the craft of writing. We talk about what motivates writers to do the work they do and what they've learned through their creative practice.
Okay, hello. I am here today with Deke Guidi, instructor at Clatsop Community College, going on 26 years now. Deke teaches communications classes and humanities. Deke, you're also involved with the Charlene Larson Center for the Performing Arts on their board, on the board with the Cascadia Chamber Opera, and you're affiliated with a couple different regional opera companies.
Yes.
You are kind of a local legend. We are so happy to have you.
Well, that's very kind of you to say. Thank you. I'm very happy to be here.
Brilliant.
Very happy.
Happy to have you. So you're kind of an unconventional choice for us to have on River Writers.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but you're not traditionally a writer.
Not in probably the creative sense, in that I don't do a whole lot of writing outside of the realm of academic writing.
So,
And so
yeah.
I kind of spent more time in that realm than with any. I loved the creative writing classes and things like that. I just felt like I was better at the speaking part than maybe at the writing part with some of the creative elements.
I can totally see that. Where does writing come through in your job? What kind of academic writing are you doing on a regular basis?
Well, I think I am in kind of a unique position, as you know, because I get to see a lot of different people, and some of my classes are getting, I mean, I will say that over the years, I've noticed that students, I feel like they continue to come in with pretty strong writing skills. And I think that Clatsop Community College offers some really great writing classes, from the academic to the creative, and some of those offerings, just in my opinion, can't be beat. Some of the literature classes and things like that. And for me, I see myself as someone who is kind of starting students out in a way on an academic path towards writing, and some of the distinctions that you have to make between what it means to write reflectively versus analytically versus in, you know, maybe a short story kind of sense, a narrative sense. And so I feel like my job is kind of introducing all of these different styles of writing to show that writing is multifaceted. It's not something that only exists, I think, in one discipline, and the necessity to understand the mechanics of good writing, I think, are something that are very, is a monolith in all academia. You have to be able to write, and you have to know what each situation kind of calls for, because they're different. And I feel like that's a really cool part of my job, being able to explore different styles of academic writing and different perspectives you can take from different classes and things like that.
So from my experience, I've taken a couple of your classes at the community college. And I see you chuckling over there, and it's not catching on the recording, but I need for the audience to know. There we go.
Yes. Yeah.
That I took, I believe, just an intro communications class. I took an intercultural communications and a persuasion class from you. And each of these classes had a very different level of writing that they called for from students. And I was going through and re-looking at some of these assignments. Do you ever go through and create your own versions of these where you're like, oh, I'm asking my students to write a ceremonial speech. I'm gonna write one to refresh myself.
I do that. I also go back and look at older things I wrote from similar situations. Like when I took my advanced public speaking class, we had to give a like a something daunting, like a 10-minute ceremonial speech about something. And going back and reading some of that, and then, but I do that. And what I've really been doing lately is within my intercultural class, I've been walking them through like concept application papers. And at this point, I've just made a whole class about it now that I'm like, okay, now we're going to start this out and we're going to do this and this and this and this. And hitting some of the points that need to be made, because yeah, I think that's an interesting question, Asher, because I do tend to model the kind of writing I want to see back, I guess, which maybe is a little constrictive in some ways, but starting out, there has to be some guardrails before you
Some
start to,
foundation to build from.
yeah, but before you can roam, before you can run wild,
And
unbridled.
unbridled, that's a good word.
Yes.
I think an underused word, unbridled.
Unbridled, yes.
Great word. So thinking to it, you're the only communications instructor at the community college, right? But every student who's getting, say, a transfer degree, or even most general associates, have to take a communication class in the 2 years of their program. So you get to see every student coming through the community college.
And it has changed quite a bit from when I began, because when I started, there were two options for the communication degree. You could take public speaking or you could take small group. And it had to be one of those two classes to fill out the general ed requirement for the AAOT, which is the Associate of Arts Oregon Transfer Degree, for anyone who doesn't know the fancy acronyms for the state of Oregon. But now they've made it so that it can be any of the classes, from interpersonal, intercultural, small group. It can be public speaking. It can be persuasion.
Which was a great
And
class.
yes, and it has been really interesting because, again, I've always thought, in some ways, I have always thought that it's interesting that public speaking is the degree, or was the class that was required for the degree, because I tend to think that public speaking, unless you're doing a specific job, public speaking is a great little skill to have, I guess, off to the side, and it can make, but like the most common type of communication that we're all involved in, interpersonal, intercultural, working with other people in small
Small
groups and
group.
stuff like that, was they didn't make those the requirements. Those were kind of the optional things that you can take. And I always thought, you know, that interpersonal class is so, there's so much to be said about just how you relate with people, and kind of the misnomer that a lot of times people just because I can speak and you can hear, that we're all experts at communication. And sometimes I have found that that is not so much the reality.
Yeah. Well, and I think there's a really interesting position in community college too, where you're getting students from so many different walks of life,
Yes.
coming in with vastly different skill sets. And for
Yes.
some students, it might be people who are later on in life coming back to college. I believe they call those non-traditional students.
Yes.
And you're getting younger students fresh out of high school, some still in high
I'm
school.
still in high school.
Yeah. Do you find that, like I said earlier, I know your classes demand different stuff. Some assignments I've had for you were just you wanted a bullet pointed, here's what I planned on talking about. And others were fully flushed out, I need to recite this verbatim. Do you find that there's also a range of what you're getting from students in their writing for those different types of assignments?
Yes. It has been really, it's interesting to see what people latch on to as far as what they're going to. I've noticed in a lot of my public speaking classes that people, not all the time, but a lot of times people kind of center around a theme that they go back and forth, or they kind of tangent off of things a little bit. And that has been, again, that's one of the things that I always think is so awesome about teaching, is to see how everyone interprets what I ask of certain things, and the way that and to see what I get back is always a fascinating thing. But I will say that everyone always, one of the things I always try to encourage is for you all to adopt, or to not necessarily adopt, but for you all to stay kind of in the hunt of finding your own voice. And I think that that is one of the kind of the baby steps to finding one's first vo finding their voice in either the writing or the communication terms of how they can kind of navigate some of those things, I think is interesting.
Well, and I think communication in general has a huge overlap with writing. You know, writing is a form of communication. It is a form
1,000.
of, yeah. And
And
please.
oh, I was just going to say, I'm always fascinated when I hear about writing assignments from the 200 series, or writing from a literature class, or writing in 121 or 122 or 115 even. I can't believe, and it speaks kind of to maybe my own naivete about like cross sections of disciplines and stuff like that. But I can't tell you how many times in classes people have said, "Oh yeah, we talk about that in writing," or "We talk about that in." There is, like you said, so much overlap that that's why I'm always so happy to collaborate with like the writing instructors and things like that, because what we do is so aligned, but just from a little bit different
It's
seat in the
intersectional.
room. Yeah,
Yeah.
absolutely.
And I mean, in order to become an instructor, in order to be in a position where that's your job, I know you have to do a certain amount of academic writing yourself. And you and I have talked a little bit about your master's thesis, or the variety of them. And I think that there's a huge overlap too between like having to write an academic thesis and creative writing in a weird way. I think master's degrees give you a certain amount of creativity
Well, yes, absolutely.
and passion. And
Absolutely.
Want to talk a little bit about one or two of your different thesis papers.
Yes.
Before we started recording, you and I talked a little bit about how you had to write three papers, and one of them you first only described as being about logical fallacies.
Yeah.
And
Yes.
the more that we were talking about it, you said, like, oh, but actually, it was this documentary that I got to pull apart, and the logical fallacies about Courtney Love planning the assassination of Kurt Cobain.
Yes.
And that, I think, says a lot about communication, just the way that you originally plated the conversation and then diving deeper into it, in a way that I think overlaps a lot with a lot of reading I do, where you're given a surface level introduction at the beginning of a story, and the further you get in, you're like, oh no, there are layers.
Yes.
What brought you to do these really pop culture heavy thesis papers?
Well, I will tell you the biggest inspiration about that for me was actually my advisor in graduate school, because I had traveled down to Pocatello in at Idaho State to kind of see if it was a place I wanted to be, and if it was, and I found out where the communication building was, and there was one professor available to talk to me, and her name was Dr. Nancy Legg, and all we talked about was how much she loved Bruce Springsteen and the Wallflowers, and she ended up like being like almost the PR person for the Wallflowers. Like, she ran their website at some point. It was really
Oh,
crazy.
that's so fun.
It's so funny. But, and she was talking about these things, and I was like, oh, you mean I can kind of, I was thinking I would have to do all sorts of political kind of stuff. And I remember at that time, it was the very end of the 90s. I started graduate school in 1998, I think. And it was just, I was in my mid 20s and I was just radical. And I loved pop culture. I was very into music. I was very into film at that time. And the way she made everything talk, or the way she talked about everything when I was talking about school and stuff like that, she was like, oh yeah, this is all stuff worthy of writing about and looking at. And I was like, great, let's do it. And so while everyone else, and I was in an environment that a lot of people focused on like religious texts and things like that, and I was bringing in papers about South Park and Absolutely Fabulous and the Brady Bunch. That was one of my more proud papers. And then I was also a big, I just was a big Hole fan. I loved Courtney Love. And this documentary came out called Kurt and Courtney, and it was pretty much saying, it was interviewing all of these people, what a rotten person she was, and there was no one. Anyway, I went through it and I was like, oh, I'm gonna write my paper about this.
That's
And
so much
then I
fun.
started it, and it took a really long time. It was it because I just it took a lot of different it changed direction a lot and stuff like that. But I remember in my last term of graduate school, I had submitted it to a regional conference, and all of my friends were getting these letters of response back, and they were like, your time is going to be this, your time is going to be this. And I didn't hear anything. I didn't get, and so I was like, oh my gosh, everyone got papers accepted to this conference except me. That makes me look horrible. And I was just kind of like, and so I left the campus and I came back to teach a class, and there was a big note on the door that said, there's been a huge mistake. And they messed up my name or something like that. And actually, it was one of the top three papers of the conference.
Oh, that's phenomenal, though. Talk about a whiplash.
It was really, and so yeah, I was like, got an award and whatever, but
So people
it
wanted
was
to
just
hear
funny.
about this. You
I
were,
guess. Yeah, I presented it at a couple of pop culture conferences in Las Vegas and Los Angeles.
the perfect
And
scene for it.
yeah, it was really great. It was really great.
Oh, that's phenomenal.
Yeah.
So, in addition to your work teaching humanity or communications classes, you also teach humanities classes.
Yes. Go ahead.
No, I just what?
I was really into, we got a humanities series like oh, maybe 8 years into it, and I just jumped onto it. I've taught I don't know, for a while as well. I was on a real 60s kick. I don't know what that was about. But I taught with another instructor a social movements class. I taught with another instructor art and social movements of the 60s. And I taught a food and culture class, and I taught a music and culture class with, don't laugh at me, with a special emphasis on musical theater. And we spent
Oh, I love that.
and we spent actually a pretty good amount of time on cabaret,
Ooh, good choice.
which yeah, which is a beautiful, just an incredible show.
And a
Talk
really
about
interesting
incredible
one to
writing.
pull apart for an academic perspective.
There's so much going on, and it's just so deep. And
Yeah.
the stage play is so different than the film.
Yes.
And so yeah, it was exciting to look at that.
Oh, that's well, and I think that's another, to go back to writing, aspect of writing and adaptation of writing that's interesting to look at is how
Yes.
films versus stage plays present the
Oh.
same stories.
Yes. And because I remember as a kid, like someone got me the Broadway version of Grease, and I had just seen the movie version of Grease, and I was
And it's
like, oh,
not
this
the
is not the
same.
same. This is not the
No.
same. And so, yeah, Cabaret actually takes away a lot in the film from, there's a lot of other different relationships and stuff like that happening in the show, but the film was really more about Sally Bowles, which is fine, should be.
I had a similar experience with Les Mis, listening to like the movie is very, very different than several different adaptations of the Broadway. The London original cast will always be my favorite,
Come on. You
as it should be.
gotta. That's, I've been listening to the original cast recording of Chicago, and that has been
Ooh,
making me laugh.
thrilling. And I have the CD of that one from the movie in my car.
Which I love that. I love that soundtrack. Love that soundtrack.
So with your work at the community college, you said you work alongside like other instructors from other disciplines pretty often because of the overlap of the work you're doing. And earlier, before we got on for our little interview here, you said something along the lines of, you know, sometimes something will happen on campus and you think you should write a story about that. Do you ever see that coming up with some of these other instructors, with these other classes, like talking about cross-discipline? Would you ever write a story about your work at the community college?
Oh yeah. For I always think about it because as I get closer, I mean, I'm still probably a ways away from retirement, but as I get closer, I do think it would be funny to do some retrospective stuff, just thinking about some of my more hilarious encounters up here with stuff that has happened. But yes, and I always think, there's always going to be, it's always a lively place. There's always some lively stuff happening,
I think, Deek, that you should write a short story and submit it to Rain Magazine based on something at the college. I think that would be very
Absolutely.
topical.
I think about it all the time. I need to start doing it. I need to
What's
start doing
stopping you?
it. Having to go learn music or grade things a lot of times
The greater
is one of
demands
the
of
biggest
life are stopping your
impediments.
writing
Yes.
future.
Yes.
Okay,
Yes.
okay.
Yes.
Is there anything else you want to say before we wrap up here?
I will say there is something I've noticed with, and again, this might be limited to academics, but something I've noticed over the past couple of years, and like writing letters of recommendations for students and things like that. One of the things I've noticed that I think has a tremendous effect on students is a lot of the big scholarships now are limiting how much you can write. It is not a, it is not a, can you write 9 pages? In the sense that we all can pretty much do that if we needed to do it. But when I was writing like letters of recommendation for you and stuff, Asher, I remember when you were filling out applications that had a 250 word maximum or a 300 character limit or something like that.
There's a
And so
demand for brevity.
ex that's what I was going to say. I was going to say, for better or for worse, as the American attention span continues to, take hits and things like that, that brevity is becoming one of the things that I've noticed. And I've been kind of tailoring assignments anymore toward brevity, just
Interesting.
not because I want to, but necessary because I feel like it's a necessary thing to get people kind of on that train, which is a tough kind of place academically because academic writing is all about the exploration and kind of digging into things, but at the same time,
Writing is
what we're being
epistemic.
asked to do,
Yeah.
And so I think with all of the talk about AI and things like that, I think it almost requires us to demand more of our own writing in some ways and to be a little bit more tuned into our own writing, which I think is some people could see maybe in a negative thing, but I think it's a cool challenge. I think we're ready to take it on.
It's powerful.
I think so. I think so.
Well, thanks for being here with me today. Again, everyone, this was Asher Finch here with Deek Gweedy from Clatsop Community College.
Thank you for listening to River Writers. The Writers Guild of Astoria is a 501c3 nonprofit organization promoting the literary arts and serving writers in the Lower Columbia region. You can learn more and become a member by visiting thewritersguild.org. Until next time, keep the words flowing and your pencil sharp.